Well, good morning, and it's a joy to be with you this morning, to be joining in worship with you wherever you are. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a season of waiting and longing and hoping. I'm honored to launch this new series here called Sent, Delivering the Gift of Hope. The basic premise of this series is very simple, that God sent Jesus into the world and Jesus sends us into the world. The Apostle John, writing and recording the life and experiences of Jesus, included toward the end of his gospel this prayer that Jesus offers to his Father. And in that prayer is reflected this same sent hope or mentality. Listen to these words from John 17. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. God sends Jesus into the world to do many things, but nothing more important than reconciling us human beings back to God. And once we're reunited with God through Jesus, we are sent by Jesus into the world to join Jesus as together we offer this reconciliation to all others. This is where we're going today and next week and over the next few weeks on our way to the manger at Christmas. There's this thing that happens around Christmas time that fascinates me. All year long, we've been grown up. We play the grown-up role. We've been rushing from appointment to appointment and paying bills and being responsible and sensible and appropriately stressed out. And then right around Christmas or Thanksgiving time, we become like little children again. We put lights on our houses and animatronic deer in our front yards and life-size snow globes of Santa Claus on our front lawns. We listen to music that we heard as kids, and we pile into the car and drive around looking at Christmas lights, drinking hot cocoa, and we put on ugly sweaters, and some people even drink eggnog. Advent's a beautiful time, even if we get frustrated with the commercialization and the busyness of it all. There's really something beautiful happening in the hearts of people who long for something else, who hope that they might find what their hearts are yearning for. In my estimation, we're hoping for and longing for is reconciliation. And that's a deep, deep longing. Listen to how it all started. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." So the shepherds hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds were astonished. Do you find it interesting that the first news about Jesus' birth was delivered to a bunch of smelly shepherds? Do you ever wonder why? Well, by virtue of the location that's mentioned in the scripture, that their sheepfold was just outside of Jerusalem, there's some likelihood that these shepherds may have been herding and protecting the very sheep that were regularly being used in the temple sacrificial system. Daily and weekly and monthly, their beloved sheep and lambs were led to slaughter in the temple to somehow take away the sins of the people who practiced this Jewish religion. I doubt that the shepherds had the theological chops to understand what exactly was happening to their little lambs, but on this regular night like any other, they had no doubt about what the angel was saying to them. In many ways, this baby born in a manger in Bethlehem was about to put them out of business. He was about to end the sacrificial system for all time. They didn't care. They ran to the city to see this thing that God had sent into the world. And when they had seen Jesus, their business changed. They immediately were sent to everyone, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Think about it. These shepherds were unsuspecting, undeserving, and unqualified, just like us. We're just putting up lights to keep up with the neighbors. We're not suspecting that this Christmas will be any different from any others. We don't deserve to receive this reconciliation, but it's provided for us just the same. And none of us feels qualified to join Jesus in delivering this good news to anyone else. But we are enlisted just the same. God sent Jesus into the world, and Jesus sends us into the world, just like the shepherds. Maybe we should explore the meaning of this reconciliation a bit more. Reconciliation simply means putting something that has been broken back together. Like when you reconcile your checkbook. Oh, wait a minute. Nobody has checkbooks anymore. Nobody reconciles checkbooks anymore, do they? Well, back in the day, we would reconcile our checkbooks every month to make sure that we knew how much money we had. We would take the checks that we had written and compare them with the checks that we had deposited, and then typically pray for a miracle that somehow those sums would balance. You know, my boys have no clue how to write a check, let alone balance a checkbook, reconcile a checkbook. Well, they still know how to sign checks when we send them to them, but they don't do checks anymore. Now, the reconciliation that I'm talking about takes us way back to the garden of our beginning, to the Garden of Eden. In that utopian experience, God created the first human creatures in his own image, reflecting his own glory. God and Adam and Eve walked together in this easy and natural relationship. There was no division, no competition, no jealousy, no envy, no struggles for power, prestige, or purpose. It literally was the best of times. And then sin entered the picture. At one critical point, the free will that God created in us was exercised in an attempt to prove that we were equal with God and that we knew better than God how best to live our lives, doing our own thing and going our own way. Nothing has been the same since. And not much has changed since. Since that beginning garden, humans have continued to sin by choosing their own way. And part of what God does in reconciling us back to himself is to reconnect us with what we were created to be originally, before we chose to sin. It's not that God has erased sin from us, but God has restored God's image in us and made a way for us to live above our natural sinful choices. That way is Jesus. We are reconciled back to God. Our sins are forgiven because Jesus was sent to be born and live and die and rise again from the dead. It began in a manger made of wood. And it ended on a cross made of wood. Jesus reconciles us to God. But I think this reconciliation means something more. It's not just personal. It's not just done in some individualistic vacuum. When God reconciles us back to himself, God also begins to reconcile us with the world. When God saves us, we love God in return, but we also begin to love others whom God loves. Our reconciliation is not just our salvation, it is our calling. The shepherds didn't go just to see and meet Jesus. They left the place different. They became the first evangelists. the first preachers, the first messengers, and this is part of our reconciliation as well. If you want to think about it maybe in these terms. God didn't just choose the nation of Israel to be blessed. In that covenant relationship that God established with those first chosen people, God said, I will bless you in order that you might be a blessing to others, to the rest of the world. God doesn't just reconcile us so that we can be saved or have our sins forgiven and live purposeful and meaningful lives. God reconciles us with the world so we can help God save the world. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Check this out. Here's how the Apostle Paul recorded it in 2 Corinthians. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is speaking his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Is that amazing or what? God sent Jesus into the world, and Jesus sends us in the world. So how do we do this? Well, it's simple, but it's not easy. It begins with Christmas, duh. We must first recognize that the deep longing in our hearts to have a Merry Christmas is not just some bygone sentimentality. It's not just some culturally compromised, consumeristic retail shopping extravaganza. The real reason that the world goes a bit crazy at Christmas is because every human being, all 8 billion of us on this planet, are born with a God-shaped hole in our heart that can't be filled with any other thing but Jesus. We can look over every mountain, under every rock, and beneath every ocean, but the only thing that will fill the void in each human heart is Jesus. Simple. We must accept the gift of Jesus. We must confess our sinfulness. That's not a requirement for God. That's a requirement for us, so that we might hear ourselves say it and admit our sinfulness and acknowledge that we are powerless to save ourselves. Saying no to sin, we must then say yes to Jesus. We invite him into the mess of our lives and the mess of our world. We begin to live with his values becoming our own. We begin to grow and learn and study and discipline ourselves to choose Jesus every day. We begin to do the things that Jesus did. We take care of the poor. We tell the searching how we found the joy that we have. We stand against and fight against injustice, just like Jesus did. We get involved with messy situations, and we go into the dark places where people live. We go to places that scare us, just like the shepherds. The angel's message throughout the Gospels was a consistent one. Be not afraid. Do not fear. That's for us too, you guys. Fearlessly and unafraid, we give our lives to Jesus. And then we join Jesus in the mission of God, reconciling the world to God. So something struck me as I was reading that passage again from Luke. At what point in the story do the shepherds head out for Bethlehem? They leave their sheep on the hillside right after the glory of God is revealed to them. So here's where it gets interesting, you guys. Hang in there for just a minute longer. As we join Jesus in this marvelous ministry of reconciliation, we don't go preaching ourselves. We go preaching Jesus. We don't go with just our own merits or our own knowledge or wisdom or talents or gifts. Remember, we're just like the shepherds, unsuspecting, undeserving, and unqualified. When we join Jesus in this ministry of reconciliation, we are not presenting anything of our own. We're simply reflecting God's glory that has been growing in us since we have been reconciled with Jesus. I know that sounds complicated. So let me try to simplify it a bit or clarify it by using a children's song that I bet most of us all know. Remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine"? You know that one? Well, here's where that song was born. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, we read, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will glorify you." Right? That's what it says, right? No, it says, "So that everyone will glorify your heavenly Father." Glory is hard to define. It's kind of like defining beauty. How do you describe the concept of beauty to someone who's blind or who has never seen or heard of it? It's the same with glory. Basically, glory means the best of God, all the best of God, all wrapped into one. God's glory is the sum total of all who God is and all that God does. To glorify God, then, is to ascribe allegiance to all of what God is and to agree to align ourselves with all that God does. Glory is a marvelous, majestic thing. And here's the point. We don't have to be perfect in our going, in our presenting, even in our living. We just have to reflect God's glory, and people will begin running to the manger. The shepherds hurried to the manger when they saw the glory of God. Adults acting like children every Christmas season reveals the deep longing inside each of us. Those people will once again hurry to the manger when they see the proper glory of God reflected through our lives. I've begun carrying one of these with me wherever I go these days. Not really. I've brought this morning to make a point. This is a little compact makeup with a mirror in it. Can you see that? When I point this mirror at the sun or some source of light, that light reflects off this mirror to another point or another place. I can turn this mirror in a lot of different ways, but if I move this mirror out of the direct reflection of the sun, the beam, the light will be lost or misplaced. This is our sending. We, followers of Jesus, are like this mirror, or maybe think of it this way. We're like the moon. We don't possess any light in and of ourselves. We just merely reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. Our job then is to keep ourselves in proper alignment with the source of light, with the sun, so that God's glory, Jesus's glory, can be reflected to the rest of the world. And as I say that, I want to caution you about the greatest temptation there is when we're reflecting God's glory to the rest, is we start looking around to see how good we're doing. Or we look around to see who's being blessed by our wonderful life or presentation or whatever. And as soon as we take our eyes off Jesus, our light gets diverted. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep reflecting Jesus, and everything will be fine. So this is your assignment for the week. You don't have to rush out and buy a makeup compact mirror or add it to your Christmas list. But every time you look in a mirror or you pass a mirror or you see your reflection in a frosty window, please remember that you and me, we are merely reflecting Jesus' glory to the rest of the world. What God did in reconciling us to himself was to restore God's image, God's glory in us, and makes our reflecting image in the world not only tolerable, but attractive. When people see us properly reflecting the image of Christ, they will want what we have. They will seek who we serve. They will come to love in the ways that we love, and they will want to join us in showing Christ's love to others. They'll run to the manger. We just have to keep our eyes on Jesus. So let us pray. Lord God, it is a simple yet not easy task, because we are so prone to take our eyes off you and start thinking about how good we are, how good we've done. But today I pray, God, that you would just help us keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our lives attuned, aligned, focused. We don't have to worry about how good we are or what we're doing. We just have to stay in relationship, in this reconciled relationship with you. Let our faces and our lives and our words reflect the glory of God to the world. And then we better get out of the way, because people will trample us running to the manger. May it be so, in Jesus' name.